We've been in this series of Christmas Unwrapped. I wanted to conclude that today. Is everyone ready for Christmas? Absolutely. Kids are always yes. Some of the adults are yes. Some of the adults are, well, not quite. I've got some meals to prepare. I've got some presents still to wrap. A few guys out there might be saying, I still need to go buy something. Quick Trip is open. Tomorrow is an interesting day in our world. The world shuts down, pretty much. That there's not a lot of activity out on the streets. We focus on one single event. Offices will be closed. The hustle that has taken place over the last several weeks will come to a close. Why is Christmas such a big deal? What difference does it really make? How can a baby born 2,000 years ago eliminate traffic on 285 for an entire day? That's pretty amazing. It's because this is no ordinary baby. The Bible says that God came to earth and wrapped flesh around himself, and his name was Jesus. It's bigger news than when man landed on the moon, or NASA now saying that they're trying to send somebody to Mars. That God came to earth is a big deal. God invaded our world, splitting history into BC and AD. I mean, every time you send an email, anytime you write a check, every time you submit an assignment, Jesus is present because of the date that determines 2017. That baby split history. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world," in John 3:16, "that he gave his only Son." It's amazing that when Jesus entered the world, he entered just like everyone else, as a baby. Of all the ways Jesus could have entered the world, why did he choose to come the same way you and I entered the world? Not with all the bells and whistles that he could have, but humbly as a baby in a lonely manger. Why? Perhaps so that he would be more approachable. Drawing people into his presence. People are always drawn to babies. No one's really scared of a baby. Might be scared of holding a baby at times, but you're not really scared of a baby. This King of Light entered our world, our dark world. This approachable King we need not be afraid of. If he would have stayed in the manger, we wouldn't be here today. But he grew up and he taught us about God the Father and showed himself to be God himself. Well, so what? Even if he is God, what difference does it make? It makes all the difference. He went from that crib all the way to the cross. He died on that cross to be our Savior. It's what he was told of him when he was first introduced to us in that manger. In Luke chapter 2, verse 11, it says, "Today in the city of David, a Savior was born for you, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This baby came to save us." I want to be as simple and as straightforward as possible this morning. The Bible says that because Jesus came as a gift for us, we can receive great blessings from this gift. And today I want to highlight just three of these blessings that affect our past, affect our present, and affect our future. We've talked about the pre-incarnate Christ a few weeks ago and the prophecies about Christ. Today I want us to focus on this present of Christ, the greatest gift ever given to us. So let me highlight just these three and point out a few verses throughout the Bible that will help us to understand it more fully. The presence of Christ, that gift that has been given to us, gives us, number one, an endless forgiveness. An endless forgiveness. Three siblings went to the store with their mom to see Santa. The oldest, an 8-year-old boy, says, "Mom, I've got this. Let me represent the family and I'll go talk first." So he goes, he gets in front of Santa. He says, "I'm too big to sit on your lap, but I'll just stand here and tell you a few things." My siblings are over there with my mom. You can see them. I've got a brother who's 6. Do you see him? He's a pretty good boy. Give him a break this year. The 4-year-old little girl there, she's my sister. She's a mess. She messes up my room. She breaks my toys. She's not worth very much. So let's teach her a lesson this year and just bypass her totally. He says, "But I'm Billy, and I'm good all the time." Here's the problem with Billy and so many people in our world. No one is good all the time. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans tells us this, that we are in a position that we need forgiveness. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But there's good news, and are justified by His grace as a gift. This gift, how does it come? Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. This baby, knowing that we are sinners separated from God, need to be given grace and be justified, cleansed. And that can only happen through Christ Himself. The bad news and the good news listed in these verses. Yes, it tells us no one is perfect, that all need redemption. I don't even measure up to my own standards. How in the world could I ever measure up to God's? We all have regrets. We're all guilty of some things. And here's the problem with guilt. Guilt devastates our lives. It robs us of happiness. It causes depression in some. It makes us sick. Guilt wreaks havoc on us because we don't know how to get rid of it. You can't undo the past. People will do anything to try to relieve themselves of guilt. They'll try drugs or alcohol. They'll go to counseling, or maybe they'll just go to Disney World and think that all the guilt will go away because it's the happiest place on earth. Then they return home and the guilt remains. People will do anything to cover up the mistakes that they wish they hadn't done. But listen, there's only one solution for the guilt and sin of our past. That is full forgiveness in Christ alone, who cleanses us from all unrighteousness. He offers good news. The good news about this forgiveness is that God's forgiveness is instant. He doesn't make you wait to forgive you. You don't apply and have to go through a thorough review and a lot of background checks and then get denied. God's forgiveness is instant at the desire that you have and you ask for it. God's forgiveness is undeserved. You'll never earn it. You can't work for it. You can't buy it. You can't bribe God for it. It's simply undeserved. And it is complete. If you look at 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and He is just. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In the book of Psalms, it says in 103, verse 11 and following, "For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His steadfast love towards those who fear Him." Verse 12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far does He remove our transgressions, our sins from us." And that's not in the circular pattern of the world. It is, as far as the east is from the west, one straight line, and it just is far thrown as far away from us as possible. This is a blessing from the gift of Christ. In Isaiah chapter 43, verse 25, I am he who blots out your transgressions, your sins, for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Is that good news today? Perhaps we should take the perspective of God. If he chooses not to remember them, then maybe we should do the same. If you were to pray out to God and say, God, I need your forgiveness. My past is blotted with all kinds of embarrassing and detrimental things. I have done things wrong to other people. I have had the wrong thoughts. And I don't know what to do, but would you forgive me? He will completely cleanse you from all of it. If you were to ask him 5 minutes later, but do you remember that one time? He would say, no, and you shouldn't either. This baby didn't come to condemn. He came to save. And he will remember them no longer. Satan may want to bring up what he remembers and throw that in your face. But rather than believe the lies of the evil one, you should just quote him the Bible. My transgressions have been thrown as far as the east is from the west, and I, like God, remember them no more. I am living in the light. I am one of his children. Don't bother me. I will worship him, and you will flee. Have you ever been halfway through a painting, a room, or and just, you looked at it, you said, I wish I could just start over. You ever been halfway through writing a paper and you're just like, no, this just isn't working. I wish I could just start over. You ever been halfway through your life and just go, man, I wish I knew then what I know now, and I wish I could just start over. Well, we can't go backwards, but this is what God promises us from the gift of Christ. The blessing of forgiveness is that he does allow us, in a sense, to get a brand new start. He says, at the point that you are fully forgiven, that you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, he cleanses you, and he gives you a brand new future, a new hope. Jesus told Nicodemus, he calls it born again. That you get something brand new. Paul writes it this way in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, read that out loud with me. He is a new creation. Brand new. It doesn't matter if you're 75 years old or you're 17. You're brand new at the point that you receive Christ and he fully cleanses you and makes you his child. You're brand new. You have a new hope, a new future, a new life, a new perspective, a new purpose. God's forgiveness is not about turning over a new leaf. It's about God giving you a brand new life. It's like starting all over again. No matter who you are or what you've done, where you've been, to God, his forgiveness is available. But that's not all. The second observation I see in Scripture is this. Not only does he give you unending forgiveness, he gives you enabling grace. The present of Christ gives enabling grace. We understand grace is that which we receive that we don't deserve. And at the point of salvation, we don't deserve salvation, but out of his benevolence and overwhelming love, he rescues us. But you realize grace is not just for salvation from our past. Grace is offered to us in our present so that we can live the life, the abundant life Thomas mentioned just a moment ago. We need the abundant life now. And so when you're reading in Scripture, there are sometimes it speaks of the grace from our past, but there are other times it speaks of the enabling grace for your present. I need His strength today. I need His perspective now. I can't overcome these difficulties without God's helping me to move through it. He won't sometimes let me go around it. He won't let me avoid it. He says, no, my grace is sufficient for you. That's now, present. The enabling grace that He gives us is from the gift of Christ. Over the holiday season, I've seen a lot of tired and stressed out people. Some of them are in this room. Not sure the cause for everyone, but I know that life can wear you down. There was an article just recently in the newspaper saying that 87% of people were saying they are over the limit of their stress in our country right now. I mean, there's responsibilities, there's relationships, there's a lack of rest. It all adds up over time. Looking around, it seems people are searching for additional power for everything. Some people buy energy drinks just to give them the boost they need. Some people use power pills just to make it through. Some people are reading a new book on how to have power in every situation. People are always looking for a boost or to help them to do more, to be more. Well, when we are in Christ, He gives us all that we need. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Paul speaking of joy throughout the entire book. He talks about the various circumstances he has found himself in with much and with little. And he begins to tell us, I can do all things, what? Read this part. Through Him who strengthens me. He's not talking about the past. He's talking about right now. Whatever circumstance you find yourself in, God's enabling grace gives you the strength to move forward. You're going to make it. Some of you I know are kind of sliding in to 2018, thanking God that it's almost over. Listen, you're going to make it. Don't depend upon your strength. Depend upon Him who will strengthen you. God's grace is not merely a means of escape. It's an enabling to live our life abundantly by Him and for Him. In Romans chapter 8, verse 32, he says in this, He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all. We get that. He also says, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? Does anybody need anything from God today? Don't be shy. God did not come to be served, but to serve those who are in need. God can't be served by human hands, as if He needs anything. But He sees a people that He knows He must rescue and save them. He sees a people bumbling along in life, struggling, afraid to ask for the very help that they need. Don't be arrogant, saying, God's too busy for me. God loves you, and He has offered all that you need. Ask Him. If you know God, you would ask far more than you do. Ask Him. He wants to give you the enabling grace to sustain and actually not just keep you at the bottom level. He wants to provide far more for you, that you would have an abundant life, that you would be far more effective to give Him glory and to be attractive to other people. They say, there's something about them. They've got joy that's unspeakable. They've got a way of seeing life that just seems so out of this world. Yes, when we live in God's presence and we understand His grace that sustains me every morning. His mercies are new every morning, and His grace is always available. When we live with that perspective and that motivation, and the Holy Spirit's living within us and motivates us to move forward, it is out of this world. I'm tired of what the world can provide. I want to trust in on what God can provide, because it's far better. This baby is the one who brought this. The one, the God who took on flesh and was born on that first Christmas morn. He's the one who came from the crib to the cross so that he who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? One example of things that we need is found in John chapter 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you, he says to his disciples. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Just a few thoughts. We have a lot of times in this world where we talk about peace. There's peace treaties that have been signed, and peace between couples, and peace between businesses, and peace, you know, in churches. And there are a lot of peace that people try to orchestrate. And peace typically is lack of conflict. Once again, the world's peace will always be lacking. How many times in your generation has there been a peace treaty in the Middle East? How's that been working? But Jesus says, listen, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. That's real peace. A peace with God and a peace of God in our lives. To live and walk across waters that seem choppy, but as long as our focus is on Christ, we are at peace. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. It's one of the gifts, the enabling graces God gives us when we trust in the Christ child that has been granted to us. Finally, this present of Christ gives eternal life. One of the simplest verses to understand this is in Romans chapter 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but there's a free gift, and it's from God, and that gift is eternal life. Unending forgiveness, enabling grace, and eternal life. And that eternal life is in Christ Jesus when he is our Lord. We surrender to him. We seek his forgiveness, and we want to put off the old man and put on the new that he provides. The fear of death no longer will have a hold on us. You know, the fear of death is a universal problem. Even among the harshest murderers of this world, they are afraid to die. Doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, educated or uneducated, what country you came from or what color your skin, we're all going to face death. It's a universal problem. Studies show that life is still 100% fatal. So it's not, are we going to die? It's, are we prepared to die? Since we're all going to die, it's pretty foolish to be unprepared for something that you know is inevitable. We can run from God our entire lives, but when we die, there's no more running. We'll meet him face to face, and we'll have we'll stand in a position either under the covering of Christ, or we'll stand on our own. Well, how can you make certain what's going to happen to you on the other side? Well, if you already have an ongoing relationship with Jesus Christ, you're not worried about dying. You may not like the pain that gets you to your death, but death has no more sting. For a Christian, death is just a homecoming, a transition to somewhere much better. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, it says, I write these things, all these things that we've really heard, but in John, he's writing about this particular book. I write these things to you who believe, and there's an indicator, in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. What's going to happen on the other side of our death? It all boils down to what you believe in this life. Do you trust that light that came for the lightlings? Do you trust the baby who said he was coming to save his people from their sins? Do you trust the God who says, I will give you all the enabling grace that you need? I am giving you my son, and I'm writing all these things to you. It's not veiled, it's not covered, it's not hidden, it's not secret. It has been exposed to you that you would know that you have eternal life. Do you know that you do? When you receive the present of Christ, you get a lot of blessings. The endless forgiveness, the enabling grace, the eternal life. And these blessings are extremely personal. God Himself delivered it in person. It's extremely practical. These are exactly what you need. It covers your past, it covers your present, and it provides for you a future. These blessings are extremely priceless. The cost was that Jesus stepped out of heaven and came to earth, took on flesh, felt all the pains and agonies that we do, and he died on a cross and rose from that grave. God gave his son. When we receive a gift that expensive, you realize that somebody must really love you. These blessings are permanent. Over the years, I've received some gifts that didn't even last till New Year's. But God gave us Christ, who is a permanent gift, an eternal gift for us. So I'll conclude our time with two questions. Number one, have you received God's Christmas present of Jesus? In the news, there was a story of a guy who received a Christmas present 49 years ago. And he still hadn't opened it. I thought, well, how foolish. I can't imagine someone giving me a gift and having never opened it. Someone asked you in a few weeks, how'd you like the gift I gave you? If you said, oh, I just hadn't had time to look at it yet, I haven't opened it. I'm sure you'd be in a little awkward situation there. Listen to me. God has given us a gift. I wonder how many of you have opened it, received it. Year after year, though, the tragedy is that a lot of people will pause for Christmas and never open the greatest gift ever given. They'll celebrate with their family around a table. They'll call it Christmas. They'll be glad they have the week off from work, and they think that's the greatest gift. They may open up some trinket or package that will satisfy them for a short time until the next garage sale when they get rid of it. That they have these things that are temporary that give them a temporary satisfaction. But listen to me, how many people are going to pause tomorrow and never open the greatest gift that's ever been given in Christ? Have you accepted God's gift of forgiveness? If not, you aren't really celebrating Christmas. You just have a holiday. Second question I have, if you have received this gift, have you shared this Christmas present with others? The best part of Christmas is giving and seeing the eyes light up and the smiles grow wide. We may be giving many presents. We may be giving many presents this season that will bring happiness for a time. But why not be more open to giving someone something that will change their entire future? Why not take the risk to share something that will forever impact them? As believers who trust in Christ, don't withhold the greatest gift and the knowledge that you have of Him. Be open. Be loving. But share Christ and His love, what He has done for us. Something we ought to boast about, boasting in Him. Let's pray together. As we close, I just pray in your own heart if this is you. God, I don't understand everything about you, but I believe that you love me. Sometimes I may have a hard time believing that, but I do believe that you love me. Thank you for sending Jesus at Christmas. This Christmas, I want to receive Christ into my life, your Christmas gift to me. I know that Jesus lived, and he died, and he rose again for me. I ask that you come into my life. Please forgive me of my past. Help me to live for you in this present time, and give me the assurance that I'll be with you in the future when I die. Thank you for everything. And perhaps this is the prayer that you would be praying as a believer. Father, I'm thankful that you gave me that gift and you opened my eyes and heart to receive the gift of Christ. As we celebrate it, may you get the honor and glory. But Father, let me not withhold that great news about your Son. Let me share it with everyone, with family that I'll interact with this week, with friends that I may see. Give me the boldness and the enabling grace to share with those who have not received you. Let me be clear in my words and loving in my presentation, but let me share. Your Spirit prompt me to give the gift that will change their life. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. One of my favorite times of the Christmas service is the candle lighting, because it reminds me of what we saw on the video of the lightlings. I'm going to ask the elders to come forward to assist. I trust that you received a candle when you came in this morning. We're going to dim the lights. It's representative of the dark world that we live in. But Christ, the one light, came in to give us hope and a future. And not only did Christ come, he shared this light, and he asked that we share it with others until the whole world is lit with his glory.